Well, good morning. This is Tom Moulton, and you're joining me and Jump in Tucson every weekday at 9 o'clock. We have a special host that talks to the folks that aren't afraid to get their hands dirty. And today we have one of those folks that he's been so involved in the community, especially almost everything sports. And his name is Mike Fader. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Tom. How are you?
Good. So nice to hear from you. Mike was going to be in the studio, but you're kind of laid up, I understand.
Yeah, I guess having a torn Achilles tendon on your right foot and not being able to drive, yeah, that would qualify under kind of tied up.
I have to tell you. And we don't heal like we used to, do we, Mike?
No. And the sad part is, but how'd you do it? Playing pickleball.
Well, I guess that's better than ping pong.
Well, I'm not ping pong. I wouldn't have, but if you talk to orthopedic surgeons and ER rooms, pickleball is one of the most prevalent injuries for older people there is. I mean, they're all the time.
Well, you know, we think we can do what we used to be able to do. And I remember someone saying, well, you had a knee operation. I don't want you to be running. But if you play doubles, you'll be okay. Until that first time I twisted to the left and the ball was coming to the right and I tried to recover. It doesn't work anymore.
No. Let's say I would take a knee operation compared to this any day.
Well, we are talking to Mike Fader today in his role, and he's got many roles in the sports community. But today we're going to focus on the Tucson Mexican Baseball Fiesta. It's an annual event. It's a multi-day event. And Mr. Fader has been involved.
Multi-city as well. Tom, multi-city as well.
That's right. That's right. We're going to absolutely thank you for correcting me, because we're going to talk about how this has grown from a Tucson event to almost, well, you know, I know you're in the Phoenix area, but you're also, I understand, going to be in some other cities as well. So we'll get to that in just a few minutes. But I really want to thank you. You're an old friend, and you and I over the years have done many things, especially around charity games. And so it's been a real treat to know you, and even a better treat today, because I get a chance to talk about what's new and what's going to be going on. But also, I'm sure we'll have a few stories about how Mike and Tom raised a lot of money for a family that lost a darling daughter. But first, let's talk about Mike Fader. I mean, Mike, we lost you for a little bit to the New Orleans Saints, and then we got lucky and got you back again. But let's go back a little bit to the Mike Fader that I met in the 90s, and you were all about baseball. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure, Tom. My wife and I, Patty, actually moved to Tucson in 1989 to run the Tucson Toros.
That's right.
And it was, I mean, obviously, it was one of the joys of my life. So I was here all the way from 89 through the time they moved to Keno, or Tucson Electric Park. So that would have been, what, 97, 98. Was spent a year and a half with the Sidewinders. And then, like you said, off to New Orleans. But, I mean, a lot of great memories. I mean, to this day, my favorite city to run a team in, and I've run a lot. I ran sports teams for 35 years, is Tucson. I mean, that's why when we went to New Orleans, we always knew we were coming back. And, you know, then something called Katrina happened to happen in New Orleans. Spent a year in Austin running an arena football team, the Austin Wranglers. And just decided, well, it's time to come back to Tucson. That's where we want to be. Our families were here. And I'm done with my sports career. That sure didn't happen. Ultimately, in 2011, ran the Tucson Padres for 2011, 12, and 13. Then the team was sold and moved to El Paso.
You know, what I remember about Mike Fader was the wonderful costume characters that the teams came up with, especially the Padres.
you know, the minor league baseball is all about fun. That's why I loved it so much. And, you know, costume characters, the San Diego Chicken, the Philly Fanatic, Tuffy the Toro. I'm still proud to say that I was the person who invented Tuffy the Toro. You know, Kino Bambino, that was the Padres mascot we used.
That's right.
and then, you know, that's what you do. I mean, you're selling the sizzle. You're not selling the baseball necessarily. You know, to me, my favorite memory in sports, quite honestly, is 2011 when we won the – I'm sorry, it was 1991 when the Tucson Toros won their first PCL championship. And to this day, I was at that game, people will tell you. Well, we had 10,000 people and turned them away. But the game was actually broadcast the last inning on KGUN and KVOA. So, I mean, I was there. That was exciting. And a big part of that season, I happened to see last weekend, and a guy by the name of Kenny Lofton. Kenny was our center fielder. We had a lot of other really good players on that team. But Kenny came back to Tucson for something else I do, which we'll get into later, for the Lute Olson Fantasy Basketball Camp. And it's always great seeing Kenny.
Yeah, we're gonna end up talking a little bit about some of the other things that you're doing other than the Mexican Baseball Fiesta, but that's going to be coming up real soon, almost a little bit more than a month from now. And I've heard, you know, I can't believe I missed your press conference. I was out of town, and I've been going to your press conferences for, you know, ever since you started the event, and they're fun. And you not only get to meet the coaches and the general managers and the players of you know, the professional baseball teams in Mexico, but you get to see some of the old folks that you and I know from our spring training days. And that was probably some of my funnest memories of working with you is during spring training, but especially when spring training had left, and I guess, I don't know, with that 2009 or 2010, and you got, and I had a chance, even though it was a terrible situation to what happened, but for 2 years, you and I did charity games with the Dodgers and the Diamondbacks, and how the Diamondbacks and the Dodgers sprung into action and helped us put those two charity games on to help create a brand new foundation that actually is still having lasting effects with our sports fields here in town.
Well, and that was, unfortunately, that was for the Christina Taylor Green.
Yes.
With the young lady, John Green's daughter, who got tragically killed when in the same shooting that Gabby Giffords was injured in. And so John is a long, long time scout for the Dodgers. And like you said, we want to do something special. So we approached John. John approached the Dodgers. And you know, we had the Dodgers playing in the Diamondbacks. But not only that, a lot of times in Tucson, when you get a game from the Valley, they don't bring anybody. They don't bring any players. Well, this was everybody. This was all the star players. This was Don Mattingly. It was special. And we did it not 1 year, but 2 years, and over $200,000 was raised for that foundation. This wasn't about us. This wasn't about us making money. This was about giving back, and that's exactly what we did.
I'm glad you reminded me about how both teams brought out all their A players, and then of course your job and my job was to rally the community, $200,000 was given to their new foundation. Again, some fields and some other things have taken place because of that. But really, the community came together to honor the family. Well, we'll be back with some different news about exactly the details and what teams are playing. And we'll talk about where, if you can't be in Tucson, you might be able to see it somewhere else. So this is Jump in Tucson. And special guest today is Mike Fader, the president of the Mexican Tucson Baseball Fiesta. We'll be back in just a few moments. And hats off to Visit Tucson for helping bring this program together. Welcome back. This is Jump in Tucson. And my name's Tom Moulton, your host. And I am here with Mike Fader. I think we should just call you the king of sports for Tucson. Is that okay?
I think there's other people that might qualify, but I'll take it.
Well, you're certainly in that club for sure. A memory of my first Mexican baseball, and you, I believe you were there. We were so fortunate.
All of them.
Yeah. You may recall. And maybe you can give us a little detail, because I don't remember all the details. But somehow we landed during the premier years of the World Baseball Classic, the Mexican national team. And this was the very, very first year that teams from all over the world would play each other. And it was kind of like the Olympics, I think, of baseball. And we had that pleasure. Mexican national team used Keno to train. And then we had, I remember the one game. And I'm sure it was it with the Diamondbacks or was it with the U of A? I can't remember. Do you remember who they played?
Yeah, it was with the Diamondbacks, but I can't take any credit for that because that was done in conjunction with spring training.
Well, and, I can tell you. Go ahead.
A huge crowd.
Yes.
One has nothing to do with the other. So I will tell you that ahead of time.
That was my first. The reason why I bring it up because it was my first game watching the fans come out and cheer on the Mexican national team. Of course, you know, for those that are listening outside of Tucson, you know, we're real close to the Mexican border. And
yes,
Hermosillo is certainly only 5 hours away. And we actually had a player named, what was his first name? His last name was Durazo?
Rubio.
Yeah, Rubio Durazo. And he was a Diamondback. But when he retired, he went and played, I believe, with the Hermosillo team, didn't he? And oh, he went to college here too. That's right.
The college.
Yeah. And he rallied the troops, man. Let me just tell you. And we had if I recall correctly, we could probably squeeze in about 11,000 people in Keno Stadium and with standing room only and whatever. And I tell you what, I think we had more than that because we clearly had a full parking lot and everyone brought their Mexican flag and their kids. And it was the most exciting, probably memories, if you see tapes of baseball back in the 30s, 40s, and so the excitement of that crowd, it was a fiesta. It was a party. It was a delight. And, of course, I don't remember who won the game, the details. It did make any difference. You know, as you are saying on your website, come for the baseball, stay for the fiesta. Well, there was nine innings of a fiesta that went on during that game. And I remember having Alan Parshall from Hermosillo bought a bus for the day, and they brought their entire marketing and sales team down to visit the game. And so we were entertaining them while they were here, and we got press that went on for weeks and weeks and weeks. And so you have, in a sense, revived my wonderful memory of what happens when you bring folks that, are either originally from Mexico or they have relatives, mom and dad from Mexico, or they just follow Mexican baseball. And you put it together in a multi-day festival. And tell us a little bit more about when that started and how has it grown?
Okay. I can't, it's not something I'm going to take credit for. My partner, Francisco Gomez,
yes,
who is from Tucson, lives in Tucson, also was from Hermosillo, and played professional baseball for the Milwaukee Brewers, got as high as spring training in 2011. So this is the year of the Tucson Padres. Cold called me. I didn't know him and just said, hey, could I have a meeting? Sure. I got an idea that I think you might like. And so we got together. He told me I knew nothing about the Mexican Winter League whatsoever. So that good old thing called Google, I said, give me a few days and let me check it out. He said, I think, you know, we can get teams to come to Tucson and have their spring training. Their season starts in October. So went and watched the video. And you kind of touched on it with the Mexican national team. As I'm watching this video, it's crazy the fun that people had. I mean, it was a fiesta or a party. And so I came back a day or two later, and I said to him, okay, here's the deal. We'll try it for a year, but the only way I'll agree to do this is if we do it the way it's done in Mexico, not the way we do it in the United States. And as you can imagine, a big smile on his face and, oh my gosh, really? And so in 2011, with the Tucson Padres staff, for the first 3 years overseeing and running the game, we did it. And we brought in teams from Mexico. And I mean, the difference is, and I don't know how many of your listeners have ever been to a Mexican baseball fiesta game, but the difference is dramatic. So literally there's live bands playing during the game. There's authentic food. We have, as a pitcher gets the ball, the only time the music stops is when he's in the stretch to go home. Then the music starts right again. So the music is going. So if you don't like music and you don't like sound, don't come to the Mexican baseball fiesta because that's what it is, and that's why I love it so much. We talk about mascots. Hermosillo's got a mascot called Beto Coyote, who is as famous as the San Diego Chicken in Mexico. He's been here every year. The Hermosillo front office brings a radio team, a TV team. They bring social media. They bring like 10 people just to cover this back in Mexico. All the games that Hermosillo plays are televised back to Mexico, and not just Hermosillo, to most of the country. Here we are 13 years later, and it's still going strong, and it is one of the most enjoyable things I'll do all year. I mean, it's just so much fun, and the baseball is very good. Now, on top of that, I think for 3 or 4 years, we brought the University of Arizona in. And Chip Hale will tell you his players look forward to it every year, and they'll ask him in the summer, well, are we going to be in the fiesta this year? And then preceding, so they're going to be here the Thursday, the first game of the fiesta. They will be here at Thursday, October 3rd. Against Hermosillo. And what Chip does to prepare for these games, he just blasts the music at High Corbin so loud that he wants the players to get used to the atmosphere. And again, they just totally look forward to it. I'll tell you how long it takes for me to get Chip to say yes for the next year. When the game's over, I said, hey, everybody good? You have a good time? Yep. You interested in doing it again next year? Yeah, put us down. And this is a year away. So it's been fun to just have stuff like that going on. And there's been a lot of big leaguers that have been a part of this. So it's not just minor league baseball. I mean, it probably would be at the AAA level between AAA and the big leagues.
Well, and of course, those are the teams that you ran with, the Sidewinders and the Toros. Those were all right up there in the minor league. And a lot of the players ended up being major league players. And you, I think in your, if I recall in your press release, you indicated that many of these players that are playing in the spring league, and I guess there's also a winter league, they're also major league baseball players as well.
That's correct. I mean, if anybody is a Cubs fan, which I am, the Cubs third baseman right now, Eastcock Paredes, has played for Tampa and the Cubs. He's been in the Fiesta and played as recently as last year. Hermosillo won the Caribbean World Series championship last year. They won the Mexican Winter League and competed in the Caribbean World Series representing Mexico.
Well, we'll be back in just a few minutes, Mike, and we're going to talk a little bit about spring training and maybe what's going on with baseball. And I want to touch a little bit about some of the other sports teams you were involved with here in Tucson as well, because of your arena football experience. So this is Jump in Tucson. Our guest is Mike. Welcome back, Tom Moulton. And this is Jump in Tucson with my special guest today, Mike Fader, the president of the Tucson Mexican Baseball Fiesta. Now, Mike, you had mentioned...
Wait, I got to thank Matt for that song. I look forward to that when I'm at the Cub game. And, play the song. Let's fly the W flag. And there's been a lot of that yesterday. I don't know if you saw, the Cubs were losing 10-3 yesterday and won 14-10.
Exciting baseball. Boy, I wish I would... You were watching it on TV, it sounds like. So
That would... Hey, Tom, could I go back and just give the dates of the Fiesta?
Absolutely. We were going to – that's exactly where I wanted to go, because this is the 13th annual Fiesta, and it starts on October 3rd in Tucson. But take it away, because you're going to be up north a little bit as well before that.
Right. Well, the games in Tucson are October 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th. Go to our website, MexicanBaseballFiesta.com. Also check us out on Facebook, and you'll see all the fun stuff that goes on. But we are going to be in Maryville, where the Brewers have spring training on September 26th. Hermosillo will be playing Obregón. Then we're switching. We've been at Sloan Park for a long time. This year we switched, and we're now going to be at Camelback Ranch in Glendale, the home of the Dodgers and the White Sox. And those dates will be September 27th, 28th, and 29th. And some of the big bands we've had, and a lot of people come to the Fiesta because of music, but a group called La Brisa has been good for 8,000 people at the games. They're going to be playing both in the Phoenix area and Tucson. And then we're also in Douglas. I apologize, I don't have that date in front of me. And we're actually talking to Bisbee as well to play in that historic ballpark.
Yeah, I've been following that. I've been following that because, of course, we have a new group here called the Southern Arizona Sports Tourism and Film Authority. And, of course, Mike Fader and I were part of the Pima County Sports and Tourism Authority, where this kind of activities was part of our mission. Certainly, we tried to keep spring training here in Tucson, but the bottom line is we kept spring training here in Arizona, and as a result of that, youth sports though was huge. And I just heard on the news just now that Major League Baseball and other of these entities are getting involved much more in youth sports. And I think what I had heard by you moving now to other stadiums in Douglas and Bisbee, that those stadiums those baseball areas have a rich history. And they might need just a little bit repair. And this is really, with you bringing these teams in, I understand there's a catalyst around, an excitement around this new phenomena that you're bringing in, a professional baseball back to not only Tucson, but to Southern Arizona. And there's going to be kind of like a revitalization that's going to go on with these baseball stadiums, a certain different extent for each one. But that's going to be great for youth sports once you guys leave. But I understand we're looking for long-term arrangements and agreements for you that every time you're in town, you're going to add a couple, maybe a couple more areas like Yuma and some other Southern Arizona areas as well.
Good job, Tom. I appreciate you being on top of it. Yuma, Casa Grande.
That's right.
I mean, both of these, excluding Casa Grande, as you could tell, are border towns. And they're towns that know the Mexican Winter League. And you're not having to sell the product. But, you know, the stadiums do need some work. And that's, we hope we can be the impetus to get a lot of that done because we love sharing our product, and that's what we do. Well, now, one thing I forgot to mention, I don't know if you even knew this, but we're bringing a regular season Mexican Winter League series game in November. We're bringing in, Obregón is moving some of their home games here for a weekend. So nothing's really been announced on that, but stay tuned. If you remember, we tried to do that, and things got all screwed up with the TV in Mexico. But this year is definitely going to happen.
Well, the long history of baseball here in Tucson goes back to Cleveland Indians back in, was it the 40s when they were here?
Yeah.
And
without
they,
question.
And they played here for many, many years. And you know, Mike, you've done a really huge job in keeping Tucson engaged in professional baseball as well as other sports. And I think you brought some of that knowledge of running the Austin Arena football team. There was a group from Phoenix trying to start a different kind, but not quite arena football, but certainly played within an indoor facility. We got a minute or so. You want? I'm very proud of you when you did that and how you were engaged in that. The startup of which is now called the Tucson Sugar Skulls.
It was then too. I was the first person to operate the franchise. Kevin Guy and Kathy Guy brought the team here. I also was involved in New Orleans Voodoo, which the Saints owned. So I love arena football. I mean, people need to support this sport in Tucson. The guys have really worked hard. They had a tough year on the field this year, but they're going the right direction, and I think they can make it work. So arena football is a product that I was proud to have my name on. Quite honestly, at my age, I'm 72. Running that Sugar Skulls and getting all that started was pretty hard. I mean, it's a lot of work. And that was the end of my full-time sports franchise operator. Now it's just more projects.
Well, you left us with a name, and you left us with a huge logo, obviously honoring the Day of the Dead and some, you know, Mexican traditions. So I think you couldn't have a better name. And really, a better team. And Kathy Guy is running the team. And it's interesting that Kevin is running the team up in Phoenix, and they play each other. A little competition.
I don't know if the Phoenix team won the championship this year for the league.
They have been champions for on and off for many years, haven't they?
Correct. They do a really good job.
And I have to tell you, I have season tickets ever since you were there, and still have season tickets. And I thought they were, you know, when they started out really strong. It's, you know, it's kind of like the Diamondbacks. They, you know, they break up their season in two times. They either do well in the beginning or bad in the beginning, and that's exactly what's happened now with the Diamondbacks, right? I guess we can say this on the radio, they're kicking butt.
No, they're on fire. I mean, they're playing really, really good baseball, and you know, it's like you said, in the beginning of the year, I wouldn't have told you that. I didn't know that they were good enough to do it, but they've withstood a lot of injuries, so I'm glad to see them do well.
Well, of course, a memory. We got, you know, can't talk to Mike without a happy memory when the Diamondbacks, and I believe it was their second Major League Baseball season, wasn't it, when they became the world champs? Am I correct in that, if I remember right? We were at spring training, and we had some of the best pitchers, the Diamondbacks, in the management team. I mean, they came to Tucson. You know, we had a bus that went back and forth to see the Diamondbacks games, and they were, you know, I remember them bringing the big players, the big pitchers. You know, obviously it was a startup team, and it was they were marketing themselves as Arizona baseball team, and we had the pleasure. I have to tell you, you know, I rode the bus to watch the sixth game because I had a choice. Okay, if they lose the sixth game, there won't be a seventh game. And, right. And, but, so of course, we all remember what happened on that seventh game. So I said, darn, I should have got tickets for both the games. Because
I was actually working for the Saints then.
That's right. You had already escaped then. I have to tell you,
2001.
I understand now. Of course, I played baseball. Never made it past college. But I remember the days. You know, and a lot of it was from the dugout because I was a pitcher, and pitched every fifth game. But I cannot recall since the Diamondbacks, maybe a little bit with the White Sox when they won the World Series shortly thereafter, that I watched every single pitch and every single game. Now, Mike, I think that's describing you, not me, but boy, was that exciting times to watch our teams not once win the World Series, but twice while spring training was taking place here.
Right. Now, it is exciting. I mean, in 2001, I mean, it was, you know, obviously, especially here, I'm online on the internet right now, and I'm watching Gonzo with his arms in the air, you know, when they won that in the bottom of the seventh against the New York Yankees. So now, even when I came back to Tucson, I'm sure you remember this, we continued the buses going to Chase Field, and quite honestly, we're doing very well. I mean, when they play the Cubs and the Dodgers and the big teams, we'd have four or five buses leaving the Foothills Mall. Now, I don't want to bring a negative to this topic, but they stopped doing it, which to me was very disappointing, just turning their back on fans from Tucson. But it was a business decision, and it's the way it is sometimes.
Well, let's be the catalyst to bring back the buses, Mike, okay? Because it was exciting where you could go to Foothills Mall, get on the bus, actually crack a beer, bring out your burrito, and have a leisurely trip to the – they let you off at the front door, literally at the front door. And then you got your $10 beer. I think they were $8 then. But and you enjoyed the game. And then after the game, you went out the front door, you got on the bus, and you had this leisure – most of the time we slept – because we were so worn out and had way too many beers. But it was absolutely a great time. And, you know, again, having the history of baseball back when the Cleveland Indians were here, and I know the just brand new edition of the Sports Authority with Blake, he's doing his darn best. And him and his board of directors are doing their best to bring back baseball. Keno Sports Complex Sarah is doing a great job out there. She's the new executive director. I work with her she was my risk manager, Mike. And she gets it, doesn't she? Gets it.
But that was a good move for the Keno Sports Complex.
Absolutely. She gets it. You know, as I mentioned, she was my risk manager at Pima County when I was there. And having that first meeting, congratulating her as the interim director and now as the full-blown director and, you know, encouraging the leadership of Pima County that this is a lady that doesn't want to be appointed. She wants this job. okay? And the folks before that, they all did great jobs in one way or another, but they, but you know, it was an appointment. It wasn't, I want to do this. And you know what
Tom,
I mean?
You're being nice now.
Absolutely. Because this is a positive show, Mike. And
okay, because the group before her, customer service wasn't one of their skills.
Well, all I can tell you is that they did the right thing bringing Sarah in, and she's doing a great job, and she's working with you, and she wants you to be successful. And everything that goes on there is part of the community.
And she is going to be a big part of the community. And the authority, I'm just so excited to see all the things they're going to do. Now, I will not be a part of running anything, but if they ever need any help, I'm there. I'm a phone call away, because I think they've got some great plans that they're working on right now. And quite honestly, Tucson needs it. I mean, I think if you got a group that's committed like they are, and you are being a part of it, we can only get better. And right now, I don't know if people listening know, in my mind, the biggest improvement at Keno Stadium, know what it is?
Go ahead.
the video board.
Yes. Can you believe, first at U of A finally got a video board. Now Keno has a video board. And now we'll be right back. This is Jump In Tucson. Don't go anywhere, Mike. We got one segment left, and we're going to wrap this up. And hallelujah, Keno Sports Complex. Thank you, Matt, for that. Another wonderful song as we're talking today with my good old friend, Mike Fader, who's the president of the Tucson Mexican Baseball Fiesta. It's clearly a party. It's a festival. I'm really glad you talked about the bands that are going to be. It's a family event, absolutely a family event. Are all the days doubleheaders?
They are. In Tucson, they're all seven-inning games. So in Phoenix, we have one single game in Maryvale, which is a single game. But that's the only one. Everything else is a doubleheader.
I think,
and by the way,
in Douglas and Bisbee, those will be single games, right? Or those will be doubleheaders. Okay.
And get the word Tucson out of our title. We are the Mexican baseball
team. All right. We're going to get that out of, you know, it's what happens when I'm looking at your site. And it says Tucson all over the place. So, yes, you're right. Your logo says the Mexican Baseball Fiesta.
Correct.
And we love that you're keeping it here in Arizona. That's the most important thing. You were talking about the head coach over there, the manager of the Arizona Diamondbacks. Was the Arizona Diamondbacks head
Chip
coach,
Dale.
Wasn't he, Chip? And he's now at the U of A. So how exciting is that?
No, it is. Chip's great. I knew Chip when he played in the minors. And what a finish for his season last year. They just took the Pac-12 by storm. And the way they finished was to their credit.
Record crowd.
Basketball camp.
Right. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, we didn't get a chance to talk about that, but go ahead. We just have a couple of minutes left, but go ahead.
No problem. This was our seventh year. What we do is we bring in former UA alumni basketball players that played for Luke. And this year we were really excited because we brought in Sean Elliott, who the leading scorer in Arizona basketball history, and Kenny Lofton and Harvey Mason, Pete Williams, Bennett Davison. So it really is. It's just to hear the stories that go on is really exciting, and it's nice that we have the ability to bring that back.
Did Kenny play baseball too?
He did.
Yeah, that's what I remember. Yeah, I mean, you know, that was one of the excitement of spring training is that Rubio Durazo and Kenny Lofton were players at the U of A, and then they came and played again in spring training.
Well, here's a trivia quiz, and I won't take a lot of time. You know how many at-bats Kenny had playing for the U of A baseball team?
No.
One. They used him as a pinch runner, and he couldn't get in there. But Clark Crist, a longtime Tucsonan, played at the U of A, loved his actions, watching him in the outfield, watching him practice, watching him run the bases, and was drafted after that year as a 17th round pick. And I'd say the rest is history. If Major League Baseball cannot figure to put him in the Hall of Fame on their senior committee, there's something wrong. People need to look up his stats.
Let's cross our fingers. We, you know, Mike, I appreciate you coming on and sharing some stories. One day we'll see Tucson return as a huge baseball city as it's been since the Cleveland Indians. And, you know, you played your part. You may have semi-retired, but we know your name comes off almost every time we have a meeting and we talk about, is this what Mike would have done? And I have to tell you, that's a true story. And thank you for being my friend. Thank you for bringing the Mexican Baseball Fiesta on 13th annual starting October 3rd here in Tucson.
Tom, you're being modest because you deserve a lot of the credit as well.
Thank you, Mike.
Boredom of everything we always were doing, so thank you.
This has been Jump in Tucson with Mike Fader. Dr. Ackerley will be here tomorrow at 9 o'clock with a whole set of wonderful guests, and I'll be back Thursday. We're going to talk a little bit about highway travel and trails and all kinds of different things that Tucson and Pima County and all of Southern Arizona is known. We'll see you next Thursday. This is Jump in Tucson.